We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall flashback.
So I don't know why you want to hit leadoff hitter. Why, that, you know, I mean, I think I will put this kid batting fifth, and he will be the RBI guy. Oh my God, you're looking for some big numbers. But leadoff hitter, you know, I mean, I know he like it. I know people like it in the leadoff spot, but I'd rather him to be a free swinger, RBI guy, and to be a leadoff hitter.
Oh my God, some big numbers. That's what Azekian expects if you put Tim Anderson in the number five hole. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Marshall Harris in for Mully. That was Ozzy a little while ago. We're getting some feedback on the text line, Marshall. 708 says, totally agree with Ozzy having TA not lead off. He has Luis Robert leading off. That's an interesting concept. He's done that on occasion. He certainly has the speed, but I don't know if I like him there.
I'm okay with that, but again, the basic principle is the pitcher doesn't hit anymore. If your offense is any good, there will be people on base. And the same people that you're like, oh, they're going to be on base for him. All right, why wouldn't they be on base for him in the leadoff spot? Get your best hitter more at-bats.
That was the rationale when Joe Maddon turned Kyle Schwarber, or tried to turn Kyle Schwarber into a leadoff hitter way back when. That was a long time ago, and the concept of the traditional leadoff hitter is somewhat dated. And I think you make an interesting point, though. Is it now, as we return to what we expect, more stolen bases, more action on the base paths, and maybe more of a need to get the speedy guy on base early? I don't know.
Yeah, Tim Anderson's got speed. He can do all the things you want him to do. And I want to get him. I could put him in the two hole, but fifth? Nah. It's a no for me.
It's a no. That's interesting. I think people have opinions. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. All right, Marshall. So you are obviously the anchor, sports anchor at CBS2. And I'm curious, I want to get your take on a couple different things. We're going to spray to a lot of different fields, the way Tim Anderson might, batting leadoff, spray to all fields. But the process of what you decide is important on a daily basis. How do you go about that? Because I think what we try to do here, and I think what's interesting to see, being in this market, what's important and what sports fans in Chicago think are important and what you think are important might be two different things. How do you go about making that determination on a day-to-day basis, on a newscast-to-newscast basis?
So there's this young woman. Her name is Krista Ruck. She's our executive sports producer. And usually she has an idea before I wake up of what's going on, and determining on if we have a story, as we like to say, in the can, like a story that Matt Zahn or myself has worked on, then that'll probably go in our 4 o'clock spot, because even though it doesn't make all the sense to me, we get our most time at 4 p.m.
Interesting.
Before things have happened.
Yeah.
And so that's where we'll usually run a feature story. Or if there's big news with the Bears, the Bulls, like today. Today, the Bulls will probably be the big story.
LeBron comes to town.
LeBron's in town.
Both teams need a win.
Pat Beverly's.
United Center is going to be rocking.
Yes.
There you go. Boom. Like,
and then
that's a headline.
And yeah, so it's like, what do people generally need to know about? Like, because here's the number one thing. The people who are watching us on television, getting their news from us, they're probably not on Twitter or Instagram or any. Like, they're people who literally are just, they're casual sports fans wanting to know what's going on.
You mean there are people who aren't on Twitter?
You know what? One of the biggest misnomers for people who are on Twitter, they think more people are on Twitter, or as many people are anywhere close, and not the fraction of people are on Twitter, they're actually on Facebook. That's like the biggest thing. They think Twitter is better than Facebook, but in reality, way more people are on Facebook than Twitter, and it will never be close.
All different social media platforms, I think, have to be serviced in different ways.
Yes.
But they can't be ignored.
So, like, the diehard sports fans are, yes, on Twitter and all that stuff. But my whole thing is content is king, and so we're just going to give you what we know you need to know. Like, if you were at the water cooler talking to someone.
Okay.
If you still go to work and don't work from home.
Or if you still go to the water cooler.
Yeah.
You might bring your own.
All of that. Know. And then we kind of work our way down from there.
What I'm getting at, I'm trying to lead you down this path, is that how do you handle it when you think a story is very interesting, compelling to you, Marshall Harris, or to me, but you don't think it may strike the audience in general in the same way, or that you may be serving your own special interest by including it or leading? How do you balance? You know, we try to play the hits here. We try to put whatever is most popular. Bears rule, Cubs, Bulls, Sox, Hawks, that kind of thing. Never talk hockey. Why did I mention hockey? Don't talk hockey. You know what I mean? How do you balance those self-interests and maybe what you think is important with what the audience, the greater audience, will?
I think checks and balances are important. I always try to have a conversation. If I see something in the rundown and I'm like, I don't know, this should be higher, I just say it. And then we have a discussion. And you have to remember there's some semblance of journalism ethics. I always tell people I'm not a journalist. I do play one on TV. But, like, you have to kind of, even if I care about
it. But you are, aren't you? Don't you consider yourself one?
Yeah.
You work at a TV news station. You're Dave Savini is your colleague. My gosh, I'd be scared to walk down the hallway without. Why is he following me? What does he know? What is he trying to look for?
Yeah.
I mean, these are real journalists.
Dave Savini's like from me to you, just a little bit further.
Terrific reporter.
Yeah. No, he's
great sports fan too, but great reporter.
He's serious about the stuff. He was very upset that I kept trying to remember where he went to college, but I just remember he was very upset they didn't win.
But you know what I mean?
It was a Mac school. Yeah. So, like, yes, you're right. We try to be ethically conscious of what we're doing. And I just try to put my ego aside and say, hey, if you guys think it is, because I've only been here a year and a half, you think more people care about this. There's certain things that you just know. If the Bulls are playing, that's a big deal. The Blackhawks are playing, that's a big deal. If it's senior night at Northwestern, maybe we should show the highlights of senior night of a Northwestern team that's going to go to the tournament for just the second time in school.
Okay, let me ask you this then. In the context of this weekend, and this is where I'm going with this whole conversation.
Oh, I know where you're going now.
The Final Four is a big deal in men's basketball. It's going to be plastered all over CBS. It's going to be the down in Houston is the place to be. Yet the women's Final Four, you could make a pretty convincing, compelling argument, has more star power. It has Caitlin Clark, has the best player in women's college basketball, probably the most well-known, popular player
left
in college basketball in either Final Four. How do you handle Iowa playing South Carolina with the women's basketball not having the reach and having as many people interested, as many eyeballs watching, as clearly the men's Final Four will? And yet, Caitlin Clark is a story you cannot ignore.
So, Caitlin Clark, we've been showing her. We've been showing women's NCAA highlights in our show Sports Extra on Saturday and Sunday. And when the only reason we didn't show the second game because literally the window wasn't closed, television broadcast rights. That's why we couldn't show the highlight. We mentioned who won in advance of the Final Four and South Carolina won. I would say Aaliyah Boston is probably more well-known in the South, but everywhere else, Caitlin Clark is more well-known because they've won 46 games in a row, South Carolina. I think that game, I'm more interested in that game than anything going on in the men's Final Four.
Really?
The South Carolina-Iowa game, yes. Because South Carolina, it looks like they're going to go undefeated and win it all. But in Caitlin Clark, I see someone could stop that from happening.
There are people listening to you say that right now and wondering.
You told me no one was going to watch the Final Four to begin with, right?
Well, I know. So, I'm saying that, but I don't know that there are people probably listening who haven't watched a women's basketball game all season long.
And they're missing out. That's what I would tell them. Like, be open to things that you haven't tried before. You know, there's people who have not eaten things in their life that try it once and see if you like it or hate it.
What is it about Caitlin Clark do you think that attracts people? Just her shot-making ability, the fact that she is also very good when she does, the interviews. She represents the school and the sport in a way that is exemplary. That is very – her personality is somebody you want to get to hear more of and see more from.
I think the biggest thing is She's doing things that no one's ever done in the women's game or the men's game. No one ever dropped a 30-point triple-double until in the NCAA tournament until she did it. I was trying to think, who's had a triple-double? I had to go back in my mind, just off top of mind. Remember when Dwayne Wade did it for Marquette against Kentucky and knocked him out of the tournament? I was like, so no one's ever done that, 30-point triple-double. She's like, forget about that. I'm going to drop a 40-point triple-double. Her playmaking, like the ability to score, and then everyone knows she's going to score, and you put the box in one or the double team on her, and she's like, if you come do that to me, I will make the right basketball play, and someone else on my team will score. The caller that you had earlier, Tony, he would appreciate, I don't know if he watches women's basketball, but he would appreciate Caitlin Clark.
My guess is Tony probably doesn't watch women's basketball.
Well, but the argument that he was making.
Right. It's a purer form of the sport.
It really is.
Because the extra pass is made. The spacing is always there. You don't have as many big bodies clogging the middle. It is definitely, and I know this, when I spent 11 years in South Bend before coming to Chicago a long time ago and covering the Notre Dame women's basketball program at its infancy under Muffet McGraw, or maybe as they were just beginning to get rolling, I understand exactly what you're saying. It can be a beautiful game played and executed at that level by people who understand what they're doing.
And like Hannah Hidalgo broke the women's scoring record for the McDonald's All-American game last night. She had 26. She's going to Notre Dame. That's what made me think of that when you said that.
Wow, you are pulling that out of the – that's pretty good. That's a pretty good name to retrieve there.
I pay attention. They only let me do 2 minutes or whatever, but I generally try to pay attention.
You need more. Krista, he needs more time.
Why am I here? Okay. Why am I here right now? You're giving me a platform.
All right, I'm giving you the platform. So I don't want to just focus on college basketball, because you said a couple things before the show are interesting and worth exploring on the show. You're not a big fan of the play-in phase of the tournament, or you are saying it was the postseason but not the playoffs. You corrected me before we started, and I think I get it, but I still think I want to be in the postseason if I'm the Bulls. You're not that impressed by making the postseason.
I am impressed by making the postseason. I think the play-in tournament is probably Adam Silver's greatest innovation to the NBA sport, because it allows games that wouldn't have mattered this week and next week to matter. And the Lakers are in danger of missing the postseason. But think about it this. If that didn't exist, they'd really be in danger of missing the postseason.
Right.
If the play-in tournament didn't exist. And I like the idea that a lot of times in the NBA specifically, you see a team that finishes seventh or eighth that's not that good, and another team is surging, but they were just about to miss the playoffs, but now they're in. The Suns in the bubble come to mind, just off the top of my head. I love that we're creating competition. And like, if you really want to be good, be one of the best six teams in the conference. If you want your playoff spot guaranteed.
So will the Bulls making the play-in, but maybe getting eliminated before they get the benefit of playing the Bucks and getting eliminated in five games. But if they make the play-in, it doesn't sound like you will necessarily factor that into your evaluation of whether or not this season was successful or not. Because I still think that you could make the play-in and consider the season a huge disappointment. You have
Absolutely.
To win a playoff series to justify any kind of growth.
We knew at the end of last season, and then over the offseason, that if the Bulls didn't win a playoff series, they weren't taking any steps forward, and therefore this season would be a disappointment. You agree with me on that, right?
I would agree with that, yeah.
And so why would I change my stance on that? Especially since you had a chance to unload Nikola Vucevic or whoever else you want to remake the roster and get ready for next season. Now Vucevic is going to be a free agent, and you may very well re-sign him and things work out. But here's what I said at the very beginning of the season. If Lonzo Ball doesn't play this season, it ain't going anywhere. And guess what? He didn't play.
He didn't play.
And we don't know if he'll ever play.
And it hasn't gone anywhere. So I ask you this. In your evaluation then, postseason, wherever it ends, and we sense that it will end at the same place, who's accountable? And how much do you hold this front office, who receives pretty universal praise for the way that they hit reset and added pieces and got DeRozan and signed Lonzo Ball and then traded for Vooch? Bold move at the time, because that was what they needed at the time. But now in retrospect, looks like, what were you thinking? How much do you hold Arturis Karnišovas responsible and accountable for what happened this year?
Fully responsible. You knew about the Lonzo Ball situation. Remember when we found out that he needed another surgery? Remember when we found out it was late? It was late. And if Goran Dragic was your Band-Aid, it wasn't a good enough Band-Aid. The bleeding continued. You know, sometimes you get a cut so deep, a Band-Aid's not going to cut it. Goran Dragic
self-admittedly is at the end of his career. Like, he's on the Bucks now, right? Like,
I also think that we don't pay a lot of attention to the fact that Dalen Terry has contributed nothing to this team as a rookie. And when he was drafted, I don't think that was the expectation. Was it?
Maybe it was the expectation for the front office and they just didn't tell us. But right. I think everyone said this is a high enough pick that he needs to do something, especially coming off the Ayo Dosunmu experience.
Well, that's the thing, is that you knew that you were going to have a need in the backcourt for quality depth and guys who might be rotational pieces. So, yeah, I understand why Terry might be long range a better investment or maybe draft pick, but you needed somebody who was maybe a better fit for the role that you needed to be filled.
I always think it's a prudent move by anybody working in a front office to make moves that are going to matter when you're still here. And if you're going that long term, you're assuming that you're still going to be here because the team is going to be successful. So that means poor planning one way or another.
Right.
Because by the time Dalen Terry's good, can you say we know for a fact these guys are going to be here? And I don't know what kind of vote of confidence they've gotten from up top. We know how that works with that particular individual. So I'm curious to see what does happen with accountability. Billy Donovan, we found out in the middle of the season he has a contract extension. So you start looking at what can be moved, and I'm down to like DeMar DeRozan.
Sometimes you hear Billy Donovan talk, and after Monday night's loss, I think, was one example where he reveals that he understands that this roster wasn't put together in a way that's conducive to winning, and it's limited because of because they don't have
Lonzo Ball.
Well, they don't have Lonzo Ball, but is it all because of that?
That they've made it sound like he's the—
Where's the 3-point shooters?
Lack of a scapegoat. He's a linchpin.
How can you space the floor? You don't have any shooters.
He was supposed to be a 3-point shooter. That's way too much dependence for me on one guy. When you look around the league and see how teams have adjusted accordingly, you take the Hornets for it. Hornets have won 4 of their last 5 and have nothing, and I do mean nothing, to play for, and they don't have LaMelo Ball. Like, You look around the league and see how other teams adapt to situations where they lose either star play. Look at the Grizzlies' record without Ja Morant.
Yeah.
For the last 2 seasons. I can point countless examples out. I'm saying you're right when you say who's going to be held accountable, because that's the biggest question, because someone has to be held accountable. I'm not saying they're supposed to beat the Bucks or maybe the Celtics in a first round series. I'm saying they were supposed to be a high enough seed that they weren't supposed to play the Celtics or the Bucks in a first round series, or they weren't supposed to go on the road in the playing game to have one chance to keep their season alive to play another game just to get into the postseason.
Were you in favor of them extending Zach LaVine with the max contract? And do you agree with me that really, since the whole consternation about durability and the back-to-backs early in the season, I think he's played in 64 straight games. This is somebody that, since the All-Star break, has been outstanding and I think is somewhat not appreciated to the extent that you would think somebody would be appreciated as good as he has been, as often as he has been good.
That's clearly something the Bulls got right. I was on board with the extension at the time. I was wary, but I was like, what else are you going to do? They were forced to do it. They had to do it. And Zach LaVine, apparently they made the right decisions in not playing him in the back-to-backs early and making sure everything was good. And as you said, he's been phenomenal since before the All-Star break.
Were you in Sacramento when they made the offer, the offer sheet, back when he was—
That was before me. Okay. But I'm fully aware of all the misgivings of the Vlade Divac era and all the things that were never going to happen, because
they made
a
right
like
exact, didn't they?
In a place like that, you gotta do it via the as I like to call it, the Daryl Morey way. You gotta get yourself in position where your team is decent and you can make trades.
So just curious,
because no one's coming as a free agent.
So just curious, because of your past in Sacramento, what do you have on ice to celebrate the Kings getting to the playoffs tonight when they do that? And are you going to stay up late to watch that after getting up so early today?
If you think I'm gonna stay up late, knowing I gotta be at Wrigley Field at I don't know what time tomorrow. No.
I can't believe you're not going to watch the Kings clinch a first playoff spot since when?
17 years.
Who do they have to beat tonight?
17 years. I can't remember who they're playing. It might be Houston. I can't remember specifically.
We can check
who they're playing, but I'll tell it like this. My thing with Sacramento is, like, I get attached to every city I've ever lived in, whether that's Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Sacramento here. I just want the people I know and love who root for these teams to have a smile
at the Blazers. No Dame.
Oh, no, that's Dame. That's a no gimme. Anthony. No Anthony Simons. Yes, that.
See,
yes.
So you're not going to stay up? I mean, look, you came to Chicago and ruined Chicago sports. Can't you at least stay up to watch your old team celebrate something?
David, I'll tell you like this. I'm a baller on a budget is what I like to call myself. frugal in many, many ways. one of the ways I save money is by making a smart investment. You got to spend some money sometimes to make money. I spent $100 at the beginning of the season on NBA League Pass, and it was twofold. Look at the West. Look at who plays after the Central Time Zone, yeah. And tell me a bad team. There aren't any bad teams that play after the Central Time Zone. They're all exciting and when healthy, and even the Lakers are dumpster fire that you enjoy to watch.
They're interesting.
By doing that, every night I go home. I don't get into any trouble doing anything because I go home and watch League Pass.
That's great.
So I might. There's a possibility that I'll watch the Kings and Blazers. I just think I'll be so tired that I'll just go to sleep.
You should save her. And you should also ask Krista if she will cover that expense. $100 seems like something CBS2 would cover.
Nah, that's probably not happening.
We still have to talk to Ryan Sandberg in this later in the program. We'll talk to him around 9:40 because he is going to be on to talk about the toast to Harry Caray. Today, live from Harry Caray's at Navy Pier, the Score with Parkins and Spiegel will broadcast 2-6 from that location, courtesy of Budweiser. Help vote Harry, the mayor of Rush Street. We come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Sox, the Cubs, opening day, one day away within hours now. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Marshall Harrison for Molly talking a little about everything. Opening day, a day away. Looking forward to that. Cubs and Brewers right here on The Score tomorrow. Corbin Burns and Marcus Stroman. White Sox, Astros Thursday night. Going to see Jose Abreu in a different uniform. Ozzy said he's going to have a great year. I hope he does. I have a lot of time for Jose Abreu, but he's going to look weird against the White Sox rather than for them.
It's always that first time you see it in an official capacity where you're just like, it's so odd. Right? It's just odd. And I think it's going to take getting used to it, but we will all get used to it because change is a constant.
Also because it was his choice. It sounds like it was his choice. You know, I found it, and I'm not comparing them in terms of accomplishments. Jose Abreu is a White Sox legend, if you will. I mean, he's the most consistent player they've had since he arrived in 2014. I think you could call him that even though they didn't win a championship. However you want to, he accomplished a lot. David Montgomery is not in the same category. David Montgomery has not accomplished for the Bears what Jose Abreu did for the White Sox. But I look at this. Both guys, I think, had a chance to stay. Both guys chose to leave. Jose Abreu, he couldn't get out of town fast enough based on the what he told Steve Greenberg in the Sun-Times. And David Montgomery, as we heard this week from Ryan Poles, given a pretty good offer, and Ryan Poles made a point to say he chose the Lions. Sometimes you choose things, the player has that choice, and it left the impression he didn't want to be a part of this anymore. So guys do move on from Chicago, and they do that willingly.
And fans react accordingly to how things end, whether it was the team's choice or viewed as your choice. And I'm interested to see how the legacy is affected in that respect. But I think a lot of people are upset with the White Sox in general. So they're like, I don't blame him.
Well, I understand that total that sentiment exactly. If you're going to side with somebody, it's with the guy that's pointing out the dysfunction and railing against it because it was obvious And so you look at and you see what he had to say, and you're like, oh, yeah, oh, we were right. It was that hard.
It is a validation for the fan base to say, oh, he's just echoing the sentiment that we've been sharing publicly for the last, you know, couple of years.
Something really? Else I wanted to get your opinion on, switching to football. So the NFL owners' meetings concluded in Arizona on Tuesday. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, had his own address or his own news conference, as he tends to do with these things. And as it pertains to the Bears leaving Soldier Field, heading to Arlington Heights, which is the only option now, and it's the only one that Kevin Warren, the new team president, would discuss, frankly. So this whole romantic notion and political thought that they could stay at Soldier Field has never been very realistic. And to that end, Roger Goodell said this, and this is according to the Sun-Times and Patrick Finley's story this morning. The Bears owe to their fans, quote, owe to their fans exploring the construction of a new stadium at Arlington Heights. So this is because of a financial gain by the McCaskies. This is because there are a lot of reasons that you can justify and point out that are good business reasons to move to Arlington Heights. But Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League, said the Bears owe it to their fans to do it. Interesting.
I don't find it that interesting. I just think he's the company line. Like, yeah, the NFL's always, as the commissioner, I'm sorry, who are his bosses again?
The owners.
Okay. So that's what he's supposed to say. What would have been shocking for
him
to say?
As a Bears fan, do you feel like the Bears owe it to you to leave Soldier Field?
Yeah, that's why I always say follow the money. I don't care about sentimentality when you're trying to understand why people are doing things. I always say just follow the money. You're lying to yourself if you think the Bears care about your sentimentality. They care about the money.
See, though, I think that
every NFL team.
There are a lot of fans out there, and I don't want to speak on behalf of them. Maybe people have a thought, but when we talk about why it makes sense for the Bears to move to Arlington Heights and why we endorse the idea and why I have understood that, applauded it, and commended it, it's because it's the way that you're trained to look at it as a member of the media. It's because the way that you see the big picture. But if I'm a fan and I have a tradition and I have, you know, a seat in a certain section based on in a parking spot in a certain tailgate menu, and I love to do that with the same friends every week, and there's something that's going to be missing from leaving the South lot and my special seat and this experience, I think that's we haven't really confronted that yet as a media and as a observer, because I think that's the part of it that's hard to quantify. And I'm not saying it's large enough to compel the Bears to stay, because I think that's impractical and totally overly expensive, and you can't do that. But you shouldn't ignore it either. You can't ignore the human aspect, and that's why I found it interesting that Goodell would say they owe it to their fans to go to Arlington Heights.
No, it was definitely a slap to the face of the fans who enjoy those traditions and all that. And my whole thing is, and I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to sound crass when I say it. I just understand the bottom line for the Bears and any other sports franchise is the bottom line financially. And once you accept that as a fan, a member of the media, a spectator, a person who's on the outside looking in that doesn't really care what happens to the Bears, all of it, as long as you understand that, you'll be able to process everything that happens so much easier and without, you know, not saying without emotion, but at least you'll be like, yeah, they don't care about us. Accept it. They don't care about you.
773, things change. That's life.
Yes. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
630, not your team, not your investment. Do you say that when a restaurant moves, among other examples? Okay.
I think these people are all, I bet you they're all business people.
630, if anything, there'll be more room for tailgate parties in Arlington Heights.
Absolutely.
Make the move and make the money.
Look, it's because you get past the point of, like I said, sentimentality, or you become an adult who pays bills and understand how the world works.
Yeah.
And you're just like, if they can make more money, they're going to make more money. Who turns down a pay raise? Who turns down a deal? Nobody. That's it. Look, I hate that it has to be this way, but I'm just...
847, what tradition dealing with the park district and their crap all the time? Good riddance to Soldier Field.
I think a lot less people are angry about the Soldier Field thing than we think.
Okay.
Just that's in the, good. Me talking
I'm
to people.
I'm glad they're moving to Arlington Heights. They need to.
I'm not. That's a hike, yo.
Well, yeah, but it's not about you.
That's me, the selfish guy. Look, yeah. I'm telling you, I get it. I don't have to love it, but I get it.
You have ruined sports since you came to Chicago. Why should they care what you think? They haven't. You just said you went through it every sport, every season. I mean, it's been 2 years.
The White Sox went to the playoffs. Years. The Bulls went to the playoffs. The Bulls broke a playoff slump.
It's been 2 years. Has it felt like five?
No, I mean,
you like it here, right? You like it?
That first summer felt like 5 years because
right.
COVID shutting everything down, and like I'm in a beautiful city where the summertime in Chicago is elite. And I felt like I was not making the most of my summer in Chicago.
Can we squeeze in a phone call before we get to Ryan Sandberg? Mark is in Richmond. Mark is on the Mullion Haw Show. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well.
I live in the Chicago Bears. It's not a. Anything. The city of Chicago owes us the stadium. The Bears were just running the stadium. The city wanted the Bears to come here. So the Bears came here as a financial decision. Now it's the city's organ. It's the city's job to keep.
Thanks, Mark. We had a bad connection, but you make a good point. There is a distinction to be made between the Bears and the city's obligation to the fans, perhaps. And that's something that probably explains partly why we are where we are. The relationship between the Bears and the Park District, the inability for that marriage to feel like it works and it's functioning and it's giving the public what it deserves.
So does he want just more taxpayer funding to go into fixing Soldier Field? Is that what he was arguing?
I hope not, because it's already untenable.
Exactly.
That bill is going to be north of $500 million by the time it's all paid for. The renovations back in 2003, that was a tremendous documentary done by Phil Rogers from NBC5, which pointed that out and reminded people just what an albatross this has been on the taxpayers of Chicago. You couldn't do that, Marshall. But I think that when people want they say money is no object, would you love to stay in the lakefront? Absolutely. Renovate it, put a roof on it, enjoy it.
Can I just point out, money is always an object.
It's always an object. That's the point.
And it's the primary object.
It's the primary object. And you're going to a place where now you can build your own stadium. It's going to be expensive. You can put a roof on it because it's going to be open 24/7, 365, and you pocket every dollar.
When there's Final Fours out in Arlington, speaking of Final Four thing you don't want to watch this weekend, when there's Final Fours in Arlington, when there's WrestleMania, whatever they put in Arlington, the Taylor Swift concert. I'm just going to go through all the things we've talked about today. All that stuff can go in Arlington.
Can Tim McGraw play at Arlington Heights?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You get my point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to go through
like,
my country.
The giant records, sports book where people are going to go, like, I don't want to go to Vegas. I'll just drive out here and watch March Madness games. And it's good.
All right, Marshall Harris, will the Bears have a stadium worthy of hosting a Super Bowl before they have a team capable of playing in one?
Ooh, that is a question right there. So we're saying is it 3 years to get one done, right? And they break ground, let's say, in the next 2 years, so within the next
let's
5 years.
Let's say 2026. 2027 is when Arlington Heights will open the doors to the George Halas Bear Dome.
The optimist says it's possible. The pragmatist says I wouldn't hold your breath. But we're not – if it's built by
– what does the realist say?
No, listen.
What does the realist say?
The realist says yes. Yes. I don't know how early they can get out of their lease and when if they're going to get the financing and ground broken and all that stuff. But let me tell you something. When that happens, have me back on, ask that same question, and I'll have a much more definitive answer.
Have you back on? You might be having me back on. Your sportscast, by the you might have your own 30-minute show. The newscast tonight has been preempted by the Marshall Harris Show.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just along for the ride and having a great time. So thanks again for having me.
It's been great to have you, and you're going to enjoy our next guest even more. It's a legend, a Cub legend, Ryan Sandberg. Ryan Sandberg is promoting the Toast to Harry Caray live from Harry Caray's at Navy Pier. And today, the Parkinson Spiegel Show will broadcast live 2-6, courtesy of Budweiser. Help vote Harry for the mayor of Rush Street, and Ryan now joins us on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline. Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Rhino. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great.
Great to talk to you. Great to catch up. Look, Harry Carey obviously meant something to your career. You are able to raise a glass to Harry today. What will go through your mind? What is your favorite Harry Carey memory?
Well, first of all, we had the same careers with the Cubs, 82 to 97. So he was around every day and, 162 games with Steve Stone and Harry broadcast across the country. I used that as an asset of mine, knowing that the whole country was watching every single game that I played and that Harry was calling the game. And I'll never forget when Ron Say joined the team and came over from the L.A. Dodgers, where the Dodgers kind of do things a certain way and they have a certain aura about them. Well, I forget if he was leaving some guys on base or didn't. A game with multiple RBI opportunities and the larger contract and Ron not having a good day, how Harry came down on him after the game and the Penguin in the locker room showed his frustration as he heard about what Harry was saying and all that. And you know what, Bill Buckner and I think it was Larry Boa just said, "Hey, get a run in, get an RBI and he'll say you're the greatest hitter ever." So Harry kind of spoke it like the fans saw it. He wore it on his sleeve. And I was a young player over in a couple lockers down, listening to this whole conversation, saying, okay, I got to play some pretty good baseball with Harry broadcasting every game. I didn't want him to rip me. So I used it to my advantage and knew that every game was being watched. And I think he really helped my career.
Right, I'm not going to lie. I was one of the guys watching those games from Huntsville, Alabama. You know, I knew at 2:20, I knew what time it was. I just got to ask you, how excited are you to have, you know, this kind of 24-hour period before it all starts again with opening day? Do you still get as excited in retirement as you did maybe when you were just removed from the game?
I do, and that's a great point. I do, and this year I think is the first year where the Harry Carey Toast here in Chicago. Now, this year it's at Navy Pier. The very next day is opening day at Wrigley Field. I think it's the first day it's happened. So, yeah, I get the juices flowing today with Harry and celebrating him and his legacy and a legacy that seems to never die here in Chicago. The restaurants do a really big and a nice job keeping his memory alive. Anyone that goes into those restaurants, I mean, they gotta take it back in time to like you watching the games on WGN and Harry broadcasting with the photos and the vibe that all the restaurants put on. But yeah, and then tomorrow, quick turnaround, a night's sleep, and then opening day at Wrigley. You know, I look forward to it. These two dates on the calendar going way back when to December. And spending some time in spring training to see the players and see the team is very helpful. But there's something about opening day that I know that everybody gets the same vibe. You know, the spring's right around the corner here in Chicago. The grass will green up a little bit in a couple of weeks and things will warm up. But to have those early games starting and at Wrigley Field, you know, just kind of starts what's ahead for the whole baseball season.
Joined by the great Ryan Sandberg, who's in town to toast to Harry Carey, live from Harry Carey's at Navy Pier today. 2 to 6, a Parkin Spiegel show will be out there. Rhino, with opening day right around the corner, with the Cubs really spending a lot of money this offseason to get free agents, big leaguers on the roster, as Ron Crumer has referred to them. What are your expectations? What do you think this season will hold?
Well, first of all, I look at the vibe of the team and watch the interviews and watch the players talk and I watch some of the spring training games, and it has a very good vibe about it. But, I think what you're talking about is the veteran players that have been around a little bit, sprinkling them in with these young players. I think it has a really good mix about it, and I think there are really, really good signings. Some of those veteran players, something to prove, something to bounce back from, and hopefully day baseball and Wrigley Field and the Cubs fans being there, the atmosphere at Wrigley Field, a lot of times that can rejuvenate and turn around some careers, and if that's what the player needs. And So expectations for me is a better season than last year, no doubt about it. I think it's the second half of the season. I thought the group was fun to watch. Young arms coming up from the minor leagues, young players, regular players getting some at-bats and watching them play some defense. But, you know, for me, it all comes down to pitching and defense. And what I saw in the second half looks very good. And the defense, I think, will be improved with the additions. So all in all, and with the ownership on their side of as far as wanting to win, you know, get to the 500 mark and or better halfway through the season, I would suspect that some pieces would be added to go forward and to have a pretty good year.
Rhino, I'm having some flashbacks as you talk about your time and everything. My favorite rule change is the one where we're shortening things up with the pitch clock and everything else. I'm just curious what your favorite change is in the game and whether it's going to feel like throwback, do you think, with some of these changes with the rules?
You know what? The time clock, that doesn't bother me at all. As a hitter, I liked to get in there and hit, and most hitters did back at when I played. And there were certain pitchers that would use the stall tactic and the step off and the shaking the head, and all of a sudden the catcher's putting down 12 signs and the guy's still shaking his head. He's only got 4 pitches. So then you'd have to step out a hitter just to regroup. Hey, this guy's just messing with you and trying to get you anxious up there. And then you'd swing at a bad pitch. So I think the pitcher getting the sign, being close knit with the catcher, with their game plan, get the sign down, let's get the ball pitched and they get some action. That a combination, I think, with the with the defense having to play on the defense,
no shift,
I think that's going to help create some base runners, and we'll see some I think some really good at bats and some guys hitting for higher averages, which I think is needed with some base runners. And with that, I think you'll see some better defensive plays, athleticism out there. Defense is really having to get some good jumps on the ball and make some good defensive plays, which a lot of the defensive plays you've seen going up to this point, you have all the fielders on one side of the diamond and balls hit right at them and kind of routine plays. So I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think those two combinations will be good for the game.
Great stuff, Rhino. Thank you so much for joining us.
You guys have a good one.
Enjoy the day. The toast to Harry Carey, live from Harry Carey's at Navy Pier. The Score with Parkins and Spiegel broadcasting today, 2-6 from that location, courtesy of Budweiser. Help vote Harry, the mayor of Rush Street. We'll have transition when we come back. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.